I've talked to a lot of people here, and I'm not sure who I've missed. Looking for some faces. And I need to talk. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Now, I want to apologize for 2 years ago when I was so rudely insulted you.
I don't remember you insulting me other than my nose, but other than that.
Well, no. Brandi Winans, I wanted to talk to her. You were talking to her at the same time, and I just barged into the middle of your conversation.
Well, I would because I'd like to talk to Brandi, too. Yeah, but I understand. No apology.
You will concur with me, then, that she was a heck of a lot better looking than you, a lot smarter, a lot of everything.
You know what? That's why you're the master. You spot the talent right away and go for it.
Wayne Greenberg is his name, was with WDAE 95YNF, and you did sales for them and for several years, and then finally decided to hang up your radio spurs and go do something else and make $1,463 trillion.
Well, I don't know that I've made that much, but I've had a lot of fun. I left the industry in 1985, and I'm in promotional marketing. I do promotional products.
And yeah.
Have been for almost 30 years now.
But still, radio is in your blood, and you like not to miss this event.
I cannot miss this. There's so many good people. It's like one big family, and while we competed during those years, we know what we all went through together, and it's just good to see them and pat each other on the back and say, nice to see you, friend.
A little more specifically, what are you doing now?
Promotional products, any product with an imprint. Been doing that for companies all over the Bay Area since 85.
With?
Well, the company is JB of Florida. We started that in 85 cold and grew it to be in the upper 3% of the United States.
Wow, and you're one of the principals?
No, I'm still working.
Oh, okay. Oh, shucks. I was just trying to make $1 million for you here in just one easy sweep.
Thank you. Well, anybody needs holiday gifts, here I am for you.
That's good. Wayne Greenberg, good to see you, and God bless you and your family.
Thank you very much. Good to see you. Thanks for being here to all that you do.
You got it. Thank you very much. All right. I'm still wandering around trying to figure out who is here I have not spoken to yet. People are wandering around. And whereas a little bit earlier everyone was sort of like in a clump, the clump has scattered.
And we've temporarily lost our...
And I'm not sure where I am going to go just yet. I know where I'm going to go. How are you, Dr. Chuck Stevens?
You need a break?
Not a bad... Well, no, I just started right now, so I should talk for a little tiny bit longer.
Okay.
But as soon as I've run out a little bit of steam, I will give the microphone back to you. You know who I want to meet is... And I know you already talked to him. But the guy from WCBS News Radio 88.
Ron Parker.
Yeah, where is he?
That's
called
the last time I saw him, he was outside. Or no, he's right over there in the corner. Grab him.
And, oh, there against the wall.
Up against the wall, Ron Parker.
With a red shirt.
Yes, with a beautiful living next to him.
Okay, I'm going to walk on down there. Don't go away, because I'm going to give this to you in a little while. Right. Down here to talk to Mr. Parker, and also, I'm coming back to talk to you in a few minutes, and I'm getting back to talk to you as well in a couple of minutes.
Yeah, we're talking about our old stomping grounds here.
Are you really?
Yeah, well, look what's on his shirt.
We work together, and we can't remember. We're getting old is the problem.
No such thing as old. There's young, middle-aged, and eternally growing up.
Oh, I think you and I worked together, too.
We did as well, yeah. Which means neither one of us is old. You agree, right? I'll have to say something really scurrilous about you.
I'm the pretty boy, so I must be the youngster out of the bunch.
That's funny. Hey, I'm going to go down here. Don't go away, because I do want to talk to you two guys.
My wife is sitting.
You're leaving?
No, I'm going to go over and make sure that guy doesn't molest my wife.
Oh, okay. I'll be over in a couple minutes. Don't go away. And don't go away. I want to talk to this guy down here.
Of course.
Ron Parker.
Is this St. Pete Radio again?
It is. I know. I guess it was Dr. Chuck Stevens who talked to you a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
But we talked one time on the telephone 1,463 trillion years ago, even though neither one of us looks a day over 19. And I've always said, someday I want to have a chance to meet that guy.
Okay.
And so here you are.
I'm here, and I'm very sober.
And I'm really glad you had an opportunity to meet me.
Well, that's great. Now, tell me about you.
Okay, I was born at a very young age in Columbus, Georgia, grew up in Poughkeepsie, New York, worked in New York at the National Biscuit Company, at 30 Rockefeller Center. Ended up in Tampa Bay in the early 1970s. Been hanging around microphones since I was 5 years old, as a matter of fact.
Where were you working in Tampa?
Oh, goodness. I started at WSUN 620 when it was a major force on the market. And at different times, I've been with, let's see, WPLP, WTKN, with CBS for freelance for 23 years, 820. Who else? Oh, and now I'm with 970 WFLA.
What are you doing for WFLA?
I do news on the weekend.
Hey, and Ted Webb back Monday morning with Jack Harris.
Yes, along with Corey with Dylan.
There you go.
I'm just doing weekends at the moment, but one of these days, hopefully something will open up and have an opportunity to do more than that. But it's good to see you. Nice to meet you.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Where are you from?
Where am I from originally?
Yeah.
New York City.
Oh.
Got into radio when we had moved to Atlanta, Georgia, when I got out of college. My first full-time job in radio, 1380 WLCY here in town.
Wow.
And then Tampa to Houston and Phoenix and back to Houston to San Francisco, back to Houston, New York, back to Houston.
And that's where you're now in Houston?
That's where my house is.
Okay. You're not with you're not in the big city no more?
No. No, I left this year working at...
Did you miss it?
Nah. I had enough of it.
I suspect. But I had a lot of fun there.
Ron Parker.
Here's the man who hired me from college to come to Tampa in 1975, October. Chris Holiday, everybody.
How are you, Chris Holiday?
Doing good. Doing great. Doing
great.
That
is great. Well, my name is John Seifus. It's good to meet you.
Thank you, John.
And I'm wandering around for Radio St. Pete, which is an online service, and also do news for 970 WFLA as a regular everyday broadcaster.
Jack,
but it's
Ted. I work with Jack and Ted. Ted we hired, brought on board with us. Ted did it all, too. He's still in it.
I know, and I love Teddy. He's just a marvelous.
Yep. Yep. Is he here?
Everybody is all remembering everybody else as they wander around doing that. Hey, Ron, good to see you.
Good to see you. Thank you so much.
And I'm sorry I didn't get to talk. I can talk to the better half of... you don't want to? Okay. As much better-looking member of the family is a little bit mic-shy, so we won't do this. Okay, let's... we've got to stop right here. Paul Gonzalez.
Yes, sir. How are you today?
We worked at 970 WFLA a zillion years ago.
Yeah, we did. Gosh, I worked there for 23 years till I moved to Atlanta in 1988.
So. WSB.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the biggest powerhouse stations in all of the USA.
Yeah, indeed. And you and I worked together, and that was fun. It was always fun working with you, you doing the news and me doing the program. We always had a good time.
We had a really good time. I had more fun than you did, though.
Oh, you and I had great fun.
We did. So what did? Oh, I know the answer to this question. You're retired now.
I'm retired. Once in a while, somebody will call me, feel sorry for me, and call me to come and fill in, and I'll do it.
So it's fun to hang out with old friends you haven't seen for a little while.
Oh, it's great. And you're looking good, and we got a good party here tonight.
We're doing this each and every year. This is the 9th annual Tampa Bay Radio Reunion, something that got started over in Northeast St. Pete 9 years ago. Jeff Rogo, how are you, sir?
John, it's good to see you, sir.
Good to see you as well. You were at 970 also.
I was. I started back when they were 97. WFLA in 1972.
Now it's 970 WFLA. And you were doing talk on the other side of the window when I was doing news on the other side of the window.
That is correct. We were doing 97 WFLA Talkback. That's what the show was called back in those days. Exciting topics such
like,
as what's your favorite restaurant?
Yes. And do you believe in reincarnation?
Exactly. That was power-packed stuff.
And you'll remember my answer when you asked me that question.
No, I don't. Please.
You forgot?
I have.
You forgot. You had just finished, I had just finished doing a newscast, and your topic that night was, do you believe in reincarnation? And before I could turn my microphone off, you shot at me. You said, hey, John, do you believe in reincarnation? You've got to remember this story. And I said, no. And you followed up with, but if you did believe in it, what would you like to come back as? Do you remember the story yet?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, my answer was...
Something about the color hair. Now,
No.
I appreciate that we're on radio and not TV, but...
No. I said, if I come back, I would like to come back as a Playtex Living bra in residence at Dolly Parton's house.
And, of course, back in those days, I was thinking about Raquel Welch, but that's all right. We each had our favorites.
That is good. What are you doing now?
I am working as a government affairs director or a lobbyist for a couple of associations in the apartment industry and commercial real estate, and I'm working at a local government level, county and city, as opposed to Tallahassee or Washington, D.C.
Having fun?
I'm having fun, so much fun that in 53 days I will be retiring.
You're serious?
I am serious, and...
You're too young for that.
Thank you, but... I'm just right for that. I'm looking forward to playing more tennis and just having a good time.
Beyond that, you've got to have some special passions, though, that you'll have to carry on with.
I will have a special lady in Atlanta, Georgia. And if I'm going to make more time for her, I need to get away from this work thing.
Got it. I understand. Jeff, I wish you every good success, every happiness, all that good stuff, because you've worked hard for your whole life.
Well, thanks, John, and I look forward to this event once a year where we can all connect again.
And next year you're going to bring your much better-looking than you are girlfriend with you.
I certainly would count on that happening, yes. It'll be the 10th anniversary of this event.
Number 10 coming up. Jeff Rogo, good to see you. And also good to see you, too, Paul Gonzalez. God bless you, good sir.
God bless you, my friend, and good health and good times.
Great. Away we go. Wander around a little tiny bit more. Okay, a little tiny bit more talking here, and then I'm going to pass this on over to Dr. Chuck Stevens and allow him to do whatever it is he is going to do, wandering around, and Lee Clifton is still wandering around. You're still taking pictures.
I'm still taking pictures.
Okay, I'll let you take pictures. I'll go away.
Wait.
Yeah.
Wait.
Huh? Okay. Oh. Where did Dr. Chuck Stevens go to? I need to figure this out. No, say, can you see? While I'm looking for Dr. Chuck Stevens, I've been hanging around this business for ever and ever and ever and ever and ever also. And that's a way of keeping dead air from being dead. Here he is. Dr. Chuck Stevens.
Yes.
It's your turn.
Thank you.
I'm ready to take a break.
All right.
I'm John Sipes, who does news for News Radio 970 WFLA. JR, I got to stay. Don't go away, because you're going to have a microphone in a second. JR WQYK.
Hi, how are you? I don't want to interrupt anybody here.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
I've been looking to acknowledge the important people here, and I got over to you finally before I hand off the microphone.
Very good. It's nice to see you. I haven't seen you in about a year and a half. And
were you missing last year?
Yeah, I'm missing all the time, you know. What can I say? I used to see you almost every week. You know?
I know, yeah. When I did my whatchamacallit for CBS.
Yes. I understand we're being streamed now, or we're being seen everywhere in the world?
We listen to all over the world, and by all three listeners.
Well, maybe 300.
It's joking. I have no idea what the numbers are. It's not important. We're having a good time.
Well, this is wonderful. We've got a really terrific event here. This is my sixth, I think, John. They've done 9 of these.
Yes.
And you've been here, all of them. Have you been here?
I think I missed one early on.
Yeah, we have a really good crowd here. So anybody watching the streaming, if you're seeing a little of it now or hearing it, watch it all. It's fun. It's definitely fun.
I enjoy it. It's a blast. And anyway, I wanted to acknowledge you because you're what are you doing now?
WQYK.
I know that part. Weekends?
Weekends remaining, yes. Yes, yeah. And I've been there now, 1993. It's been a long time. So
when is Corporate going to give you a call and say, hey, come on up to New York?
I don't know.
They give you all of their weekend radio stations.
I said, you know, we work as a team, and if Sipes will come with me, we'll be there.
I would love that. It'd be a lot of fun, but I won't hold my breath. Otherwise, the color blue.
Well, if we could say WCBS AM, we'd be all right.
Yeah, we'd do that. Good to see you, JR.
I seeing you, too.
Yeah, great. Okay, Dr. Chuck Stevens.
Hello, hello, hello. I'll take over for you now.
Yeah, before you do that, I'm going to interview you.
All right.
You were born at a very young age where?
I was born in Ashtabula, Ohio.
And that obviously is in Ohio. It is one of those...
it's a bedroom community about 65 miles east of Erie, Pennsylvania, or of Cleveland, by the Erie, Pennsylvania line.
Yeah. And it's one of those swing states that decides whether America is blue or red.
That is true. Politically, it's always been that way even when I was little. But I tell you, things are changing politically in this world.
That is true.
I never thought that I would ever be voting for the fact that I could smoke a joint.
Oh.
I mean, come on. Think about it. We all grew up in the 60s.
Well, yeah,
we
but I
dreamed about it, but never thought about it.
Well, I'll be the square in the group because I never, even though I had access to it, I never, ever, never, ever, ever did it or had a temptation to do it.
I just think it's kind of strange that we're actually voting on it.
Yeah. Well, it did not pass this time. It'll be interesting to see with the next generation coming up what will happen in the future. But in this moment, it needs to be done, taken care of legislatively.
Oh, yeah.
We don't need to have pot in the Constitution. We don't need to have pig crates in the Constitution. That should be done through statute. With that, we'll stop the politicking. Dr. Chuck Stevens, I'm John Sipes, and I'm going to hand the microphone over to you
all
to
right.
wander around.
Let's take it over to, oh boy, this young lady. That's okay. We're on the second time of the hour. Where did you get your start in radio? We're talking to Daisy Ash, the Daisy Ash.
Well, I answered an ad for a telemarketer when I was living in suburban New York at a radio station. And so I started out doing telemarketing at that station, selling pseudo PSAs, you know, with companies' names attached.
Okay.
And from there, I got training as a board op. And from when Metro Traffic was looking to hire people at the time to do traffic, fly traffic, I got a job with them. And then I continued to work with Metro, moved down to Florida working for Metro, and then started working for what was then JCOR or Clear Channel. And I still work for them, essentially. Total Traffic and Weather Networks is the name of the company now, the subdivision of what is now iHeartMedia.
There you go.
So
that's
still doing traffic.
That's a long process to get to one to the other, but I bet it was a fun ride.
Well, I started in radio about 1987.
You don't look that old. Come on now.
Started doing traffic
Stop it.
In like 1988 or 89. And
you did traffic with me. You did. I don't think there's anybody in here that didn't have you as a traffic girl. I don't think.
I've certainly been doing it longer than most people in this neck of the woods.
Yeah, I've had four hairstyles since then.
Well, the new one is perfect. Leave it.
Yeah, I have to because that's about all I got. That's for sure. That is for sure. Oh, my God. John's here. He's back.
A little closer to the microphone.
I am close? You're not close enough.
No, never mind.
Anyhow.
I'm going to leave you alone.
Yeah, we're going to go find somebody that... We are still here. We are still live on the air worldwide. And we are definitely going to be talking to the legend himself, Tony Sands.
Legend? You're the infamous.
I may be infamous, but you're famous. That's true. Basically, you have to tell me in so many words. In fact, I'm going to sit down here because if you're Italian, it's going to be a lot more words.
Oh, okay.
But you're going to tell me about your illustrious radio career. Where'd you get your start?
I actually got my start as a phone rat at WRKO in Boston, working for the great Dale Dorman, who just passed, by the way. And Dale Dorman, Mike Adams, Johnny Dark, legends, all of them, Harry Nelson.
And how did you get here?
I actually came down because a friend of mine went to REI to get his license. I couldn't get on the air in Boston other than a character without being part of the union and without having a license. So I came down, got my license, went to work for WIND. And I was working for them and BRD in Bradenton, WXLT-TV, and basically I was behind the scenes. Then I got a break. I did weekends at WLCY and WLCY-FM, or I should say FM.
FM.
And Y95-FM. When we used the FM before and after.
That's right. FM, Y95-FM.
Yeah, FM, Y95-FM.
Man, this is getting crazy here when you start throwing call letters like that out there.
Yeah.
So understand through...
And then, of course, WAZE.
86 ways.
With the great Frank Ferrari.
Yes.
Who I John Boswell. He's not here. He's not here. I thought I had contacted him, and I thought he said he would be here. But
John Boswell.
John... Yep.
I worked with him at WHBO.
Yeah, that was the second version of HBO. The original version of HBO, I was the first person on the air at WHBO.
We were up there. I actually worked there along with Howard Hughes.
Yeah.
We were in somebody's house. Wasn't it up on Florida Avenue?
Florida Avenue, right across from HK.
Right.
The RV center there. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. And then I also remember other names like John DeHaven.
Yes.
He was there. Enough of that. And Howard.
Howard, Marvelous Marvin worked it.
And then we moved down to Clearwater.
Yep.
And then Scotty Robbins, rest in peace. He took that over.
Yeah, and he gave me my second break at HBO.
Yeah.
My second run around. And it's been nice.
It's a crazy career.
Yeah.
Then you had a nightclub for a while based on radio.
I had a place called the Piccadilly Bar, and we turned that into the Radio Bar and Grill, and we had an internet radio station on there.
Cool.
WPRN. And I got to put DB because it was digital broadcast.
Digital broadcast. Yeah.
Yeah, I did that for a while, and I don't know, then I just decided to lay back for a while, and when they told me it was time to retire, the doctors, I did
I'm
that.
I'm starting to get that, too. In fact, I've been talking to a lot of people around here that have basically said the same thing, it's time to retire. Radio's not the same anymore.
No.
It's just not what we grew up with, where we were talking about it earlier, where you're doing... cutaways and hit the post and you could never outro an album or a record without taking your headphones off and slamming that pot down. I mean, it just doesn't work like that anymore.
Well, it used to be that when we were in it, radio was entertainment.
Yeah.
Now radio is a second thought. It's something to turn on in the background while you're washing your clothes or dishes or whatever, and that's about it.
Or driving down in the car, which now they have internet radio.
Yeah.
And the new car I bought's got SiriusXM. So.
Yeah, I miss it. I miss the old days. I keep saying it over and over again. I was born 10 years too late.
Yeah.
Because, I got into it when AM was still AM.
AM.
AM was it. FM was, second thought.
Well, I looked around here, and I see a lot of people that, in one station or another, we all work together. But I think we have to give kudos to both Roger Shulman and Arch Deal.
Oh, yes. Okay.
I mean, they were there when Marconi started.
I think, as a matter of fact, I think they signed on the air for him.
I think they did. I think those two actually put radio on
Roger,
the air.
Roger was on the ground in a Model A, and and Arch was up in a biplane.
Yes, he was. Now we're starting to do our own radio. Once again, we are on RadioSt.Pete.com. We're glad you're listening to us at this hour, wherever you are or wherever you're at. We thank you. And make sure you look it up on the internet, RadioSt.Pete.com, because this is the future of radio. Radio is changing to .com, and this is definitely the future of it.
Sure is. Like I said, I was there. We were doing music radio, the WPRN-DB,
right.
Digital broadcast. And surprisingly enough, we had, at one time, we had about 1,500 listeners, you know, online.
The best part about it is they were having a good time because they wanted to be there.
And we could do what we wanted.
Yes. We could even say the F word.
Yes. But I didn't.
Forever.
I was always, you know.
It's forever.
Yeah.
Forever radio. Forever, forever, forever. But, I mean, look around us. We got radio legends from all over the United States. We've got radio legends from the Tampa Bay area. And we're all sitting here at TGI Fridays on Hillsborough Avenue. If you can hear us, if you're listening to us right now and can get to us, come on out and say hello. Because everybody you grew up with on the radio is actually sitting in the same bar.
Well, actually, the most popular man in Tampa radio for the younger set, I'm saying the people that are probably about 45 to 50 right now.
Uh-huh.
You know, that was Cleveland Rock and Roll Wheeler. Cleveland Wheeler, as we knew him.
Right over there in the corner holding court with all the rest of us oldies.
The man who, along with Scott Shannon, started the morning thing that, like no other, the morning zoos.
Yes.
They were the first morning zoo, and there's probably been 100 morning zoos after them, but they were the original. And at one time, believe it or not, at a little bitty Tampa, Florida, they were number one in the country in the morning.
Yep. And still are regarded highly as that.
Yes.
I talked to Chief Cleveland Wheeler a little earlier ago, and he's saying that he's not in radio anymore. He's enjoying his life up in Tennessee, looking at the trees and the birds. And
well, that's because he's one of the few of us that made a lot of money in this town.
That's true. And then the most expensive DJ there ever was, Howard Hughes. He's living up in Macon, Atlanta, Georgia.
Well, he's on his way down. He was waiting for you to get up there with a truck and help him move.
I keep telling him that. Now, I have probably 100 people here saying the same thing. Howard, you need to come home.
Yes, oh, definitely. The funniest man we have ever had in radio.
Yes.
Tampa.
It's one of the most beautiful women ever on radio, Sandy Hall. How are you doing, sweetie?
I'm doing good. Thank you for saying on radio. We all look good on radio.
We look great on radio.
Back in the old days.
Back when we all did our shows naked.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on.
You wondered why we were so happy all the time.
Yeah, that's why we were all going, W. L. Yeah, what was going on?
I once signed on as the bottomless DJ.
Did you really?
Yes, I did. And I actually did my show bottomless.
Yeah.
Oh.
I was wearing shorts.
Well, you know, what can I say?
Actually, when I was in Cleveland, I did a show naked just to say I did it because I was doing overnights and no one, it was before the advent of cameras and stuff. I just wanted to say I did it once.
Yeah. Well, see,
it made no difference.
No, what you didn't realize is you could have said it anyway and we would have all believed.
Yes.
All right, my friend. We'll see y'all later.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Sandy Hall, another radio legend. I'm going to walk around here. It's good talking to you, Tony. Good seeing you. And we'll see who else we can bother for a little while. My poor engineer over here is laughing so hard, it's not even funny. It's not. I'm going to turn it back over to Roger Schulman. And if this guy can do, I mean, when the refrigerator light comes on, he does 5 minutes. He's just like me. He taught me that.
Let me introduce Roger B. Schulman. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is John Sipes. If anyone wants to know, and Dr. Chuck Stevens walking away from us, having exhausted his voice, Roger P. Schulman, the Dean of Radio News here on Tampa Bay, having done it for a zillion 463 trillion years. Roger, I think that you should anchor a segment of this.
I disagree.
No. No. I'm going to hand you the microphone. Start talking.
All right, if I must. I understand we have an audience of, oh, no, he went to sleep, so it's all, we're down to the engineer. That's a good thing, and he's fading away, too. I have that effect on people. My long career can be attributed to the fact that absolutely nobody listens. The radio's on, and nobody hears the ridiculous things I say, and that way I get away with things. I remember we had an announcement on Q105 years ago. It was a license renewal announcement, and they said, have Roger read that thing. Nobody will object. We didn't get one challenge, one objection. I Either we were doing a wonderful job or nobody paid a bit of attention to that 30 seconds of me saying, if you have any complaints or comments about WRBQ, send them to the Federal Communications Commission. Now, I was so boring that I was able to... You've seen those commercials about the most interesting man in the world? Well, I'm his opposite. I can sit there and people fall asleep, which is good with the girls. They fall asleep and I can take advantage of them, but it's a terrible thing. Mr. Sipes, I understand you're working at WFLA now.
I am.
That's a wonderful thing. I can't believe anybody would hire you.
I can't imagine why they would want to as well. When you are the dean and you should be there in the spot. Actually, you should be in a better spot than I'm in right now.
I am. I'm working for WGUL, a wonderful opportunity with Salem Broadcasting. And seriously, they really know how to do this stuff. These studios do not have rodents like the last place I was at. Insects. The wiring is actually in the walls rather than outside the walls. Yeah, Salem is good. And they actually pay me every 2 weeks, and I don't hear screams coming out of the finance office, why do we have to spend this money? No, they actually are nice about it. So, yeah, I like it there. How did you get into radio anyway, Mr. Sipes?
Well, at the age of five, I said, when I grow up, that's what I want to do, pointing at the radio on a Sunday drive with my parents listening to the radio. And by the time I was 16, somebody was dumb enough to give me a paycheck after my having spent 6 months wandering around the radio station doing all the chores that nobody else wanted to do, running coffee runs, pulling records, and putting records back, stripping the news wires. And anyway, they gave me a chance to do disc jockey stuff on weekends and evenings at a little radio station in Poughkeepsie, New York. And it only took me about 2 weeks of spinning records to realize that I was going to get awfully bored watching the same records go around in the same circles every day.
That never bored me.
No, I didn't. That wasn't my... I never... Anyway, looking out from the control room into the newsroom, I thought to myself, hey, those guys get to go places and do things. And I said, that looks like it's a lot more fun. So very quickly, I made a shift over to do news there, as well as another local radio station there in the Poughkeepsie area, Kingston, and ended up stringing for all the radio stations from WGY Schenectady, 50,000-watt powerhouse, all the way down the Hudson Valley. And from there, ended up in Florida at the old WSUN 620, when it was still a major force in the market.
I remember that. They had studios in downtown St. Pete, and they had this little bitty skinny building, and it went back about 3 football fields in length. It was kind of deceptive.
Yeah, from the outside, it looked like nothing, but it was a huge building. And I started doing news there Christmas week of 1973. And my very first newscast, never forget it, in the middle of about a 10-minute newscast, I came across Kissimmee, Florida. And so my career was launched, right then and there. They knew I would be a success since I said Kissimmee, Florida, when we both know it's Kissimmee.
I did the same thing at WLCY with Kissimmee, and George Nix came in, the legendary George Nix, and said, Roger, it's Kissimmee. I didn't do the Dunedin thing for Dunedin. I got through that. But yeah, the Kissimmee got me. And for a while, I was the only person in the newsroom who could pronounce the note Sassa. That was
another one. That's another one, yes. And when I was working in early in my career at WKNY in Kingston, New York, another little tiny radio station, you could watch the signal dripping off the tower directly into the ground.
Yeah.
And but still, it was the station there in that part of the Hudson Valley. And... there's a reason I told this stupid... Oh, lots and lots of really big names in the industry came through that little, tiny, stupid little radio station. But anyway, there, the other one that got everybody was Port Ewan. Everybody wanted to say Port Urin. And so, you know...
Port Urin, I like that. Which reminds me of something else which we won't even talk about, but... Yeah, there's so many unique names and difficult things to pronounce, and ones that are possible to get wrong. There was a doctor in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and his name was Middlefart. And, of course, the announcers, when they heard it, they'd say, Middlefart. And the doctor would call and say, I am Dr. Middlefart. That's the way it's pronounced. It was the funniest thing.
Well, we all have our fun little stories. Come on in here also, alongside us.
Here,
we've got more people joining us.
Yes, we have all kinds of folks. Chris Curley, take over this microphone.
We got to stop meeting like this, I tell you. Yeah, and I also got Chris Curley here and Dave Purdy of News Radio 970 WFLA. Say hi, Dave.
Hi, Roger. It's great to meet you.
This is Roger Schulman.
Wonderful reunion here, getting to see all the friendly faces from... Oh, there's Bob. No, I'm just kidding. We're having a great time out here, though.
And Roger P. Schulman's bad reputation precedes him.
Anything bad that's been said about me is true is actually worse. So
now, Dave, this is your first time here.
It is, Chris, and I'm going to say that it's not going to be the last. I think I'll be here every year because this is wonderful.
That's great. Yeah, we're having a good time. And but I don't know, how many years has this been going on?
250.
I don't know.
I feel like it.
Ninth year.
Ninth year for the Tampa Bay Radio Reunion. All right, Roger Schulman, back to you.
Thank you so much, Chris. Purdy, come on over here. I hear you all the time on FLA. How long have you been in this market, and tell me all about yourself.
Well, I just got back into radio about 18 months ago. Prior to that, I was in sales for 10 years. And then prior to that, I was in radio for another 10 years. I was doing traffic reports and sports, and eventually I moved on to news.
How's radio changed during your absence?
There's a lot less people working now. A lot of the computers have taken over.
That is true. You can hear when they don't work. You hear three or four things on at once and nobody knows.
Oh, yeah, you've got that right. And it's crazy to walk through some of the, you know, the station now, and there's 10 different radio stations, but there's only like one person.
Yeah, you see all the computers flashing and blinking, and you go by. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Our lovely waitress is here. What's your name? She rushes away. I don't blame her. These microphones are evil. They can... Chuck Bear is leaving the building. And all right. And notice of the Highway Patrol, his blood alcohol level is 0.6974. But you won't be able to catch him because he's very elusive. He's good at getting away. And there's a small fire. The microphone is starting to smoke now. I just thought I'd see if the engineer is paying attention. He's not. He's asleep now.
Well, Dave Purdy is he's missed his calling in life. He actually really should be a sit-down comedian. The guy in the newsroom is the life of a party. In the newsroom, when there's nothing going on, there's still excitement in the newsroom when the one-liners keep flowing out of Dave, because I get to work with him for a couple of hours Saturdays and Sundays there at 970. And I would only say this in front of his face, never behind his back. He's a really, really good guy.
Well,
he's making me blush now, John.
So what dragged you back into this dying industry?
I have no idea. it's part of me, you know. It's something that I did when I was a kid. I would be at my grandparents' house, and they had an intercom all through the house, and I would hear the weatherman go on there, and then I would do the same thing when I was like 6 or 7, and then I had tape recorders growing up, and it's just always been something that's interested me, and you know, something that I love doing. And it's a part of you, you know.
It is fun. I don't know what it is. It is fun. It's more fun than a real job.
Yeah, it definitely is. Unfortunately, sometimes you got to get a real job to supplement your fun job. But
you know what I've noticed? A lot of kids going into this are from independently wealthy families. That's the only way they can afford it.
Yeah, that's true. I see a lot of them going to a local broadcast college, and apparently that's pretty pricey to go there. But I guess they get their training that they need. And
I have to preface this with I occasionally teach there. They actually get you into stations and get you jobs, which is a lot better than the old ones, because a lot of stations need free help, so they get the interns from that. And that way it seems to work out. Plus they give you the basics.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wasn't aware totally, but I...
There used to be a bunch of scammers. But, yeah, they are pricey, but seems to work, so that's a good thing. And they give you... I was thinking of taking a TV course. I'm so pretty, I thought I should be on TV.
You should, Roger, really. Yeah.
I have this challenge with my head. It doesn't have any hair.
If you were to invest in a lens that elongates you just a little tiny bit, yeah, so that you look taller on camera than you actually are in real life, that might work.
Yeah. I saw Steve Jervey the other day. We were at a thing for... Mr. John Wilson, who's retiring from 13 around Thanksgiving, and Gail Sarans, who's going to be leaving 8 in May, and Steve Jervey. I had no idea this man is about 17 feet tall.
That's true, yes.
And
but even though he's 17 feet tall, Julie Phillips is still a heck of a lot better looking than he is.
Yes, I would agree with that. So... You've been in broadcasting how many years, Mr. Cyphus?
I don't want to tell you. You do the math. I started professionally, the first paycheck, when I was 16, and I'm 19 now. So okay. What's that, 3 years?
So you have no experience at all.
None whatsoever.
I started getting actual pay June 10th of 1962. And I had worked, you know, for basically... Coca-Cola's and lunch prior to that, helping the engineer and doing things like that. So I hate to admit I've been doing news longer than half the world has been alive.
Well, I started a year before you did in 1961. Or maybe it was 1960 I started on the air for the first time.
Let's see, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 110, 54 years.
Something like that. Even though, how old do I look? Not a day over.
250
years. No, I'm more excited about the future, honestly. I'm not making these words up. More excited about the future than I am the past.
We're just doing it here. Get over here, Frank.
Get over here.
Frank Allen is here with his Boomers magazine. Give another plug for your magazine. Where can people get this this tome?
You want me to give you another plug?
No, I want you to get...
220.
Make it 6,000 volts. We'll do an execution.
Oh, my goodness. That's nice.
Get his check and cash before you do the plug.
Okay. Get his cash and check. I think this guy's had more beers than me.
Probably. So tell me, where can you get the magazine? Boomers Magazine.
You can get the Boomers Magazine anywhere in North Pinellas County, all the country clubs, Innisbrook, Wentworth. We're in the CVS's, Walgreens, all the restaurants, banks. Oh, yeah, if you go to the Oldsmar Flea Market, we have a big flea market section. A lot of nostalgic things you can buy in the flea market, old-time records, you know.
I saw a guy who had a booth of radios there, old wooden radios once.
He did?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool. I bet... there was a lot of tubes in those radios.
Yes, there are
tubes. Yes. Remember those days?
Yes.
Those radios actually work better than the ones they have now.
They do. They sound much better. And particularly on AM, they are excellent radios. I used to have one. Well, that's boring. But anyway, so how's the magazine doing?
Magazine's doing great. It doubled in size. This is our second issue. It just came out last week. You wrote a nice column.
Ted Webb, a legend. He's right over here. I see him here.
Yes, he is. He's still here. I'm surprised. And you were featured in the first issue.
That was a very nice article. There was a picture of my dog.
So when are you going to write an article about me, Roger?
Can't hear you. I'm losing contact. Actually, we might just do that.
Yeah, one of these centuries, you know.
Yes.
I'll give you 100 years to get it done.
All right. I think we can get it done in probably less than 20 years. So.
Good.
Let me ask you something, yes. Roger P. Shulman. What is Radio St. Petersburg? Tell the people out there what they're listening to.
I haven't the slightest idea. What are we listening to?
I can tell you. Radio St. Pete is the brainchild of a Joe Bordeaux, who is a past president of Valpak nationwide. International, I guess, too. And his first love, however, his entire life has been broadcast radio. And when he retired from the business world, he said, now's my chance to make something happen. So he's put up first, which is already on, Radio St. Pete, concentrating on local stuff. in St. Petersburg itself directly. However, coming up here pretty quickly now, they'll have low-power FM off of a big building in downtown St. Pete that'll reach a good part of the city. And their focus, of course, is going to be on local stuff again as well. And it's a good idea. I mean, this is what broadcasting really should be. Not putting down the good people as a big, major, mega...
Oh, go ahead and put them down.
Well, you know, it's... Anyway...
Roger, who is this guy we're listening to talk?
I have no idea.
He sounds like Foster Brooks.
Go ahead, Mr. Cyphus. Don't tell him.
No, I guess I... Anyway, a low-power FM is going to be on the air first of the year, approximately. And Dennis Crandall, who we all, I think, know, he's been in the broadcasting business around here forever as well. And I worked with him at the old 570, as well as when I was doing television for Paxson Communications over at Channel 66 over in Clearwater at their hub. I did local for them and a little bit of national stuff for them as well. So, like everyone else, we've been around the business forever and done just about everything in the way of news and information and talking and boring people and whatever else.
You said that this is the way radio should be. I agree. And when you see so many of the stations in the Bay Area have syndicated programming, even in their morning drive, out-of-town stuff, people who have no interest in this area, have never been here, I just wish the Telecommunications Act of 1996 had never been passed, because I think it was really the death knell for local radio.
Yeah, that is true. I actually have a split opinion about that, because I do enjoy the nationally syndicated programs. If we could split the channels and out of my stereo speakers in the car and simultaneously, let's get rid of you the right way. If simultaneously we could have on the right channel my syndicated national talk shows, in the left speaker in the car, I got to have my local programs listening to both at the same time. That would be my ideal world.
That would be very confusing.
No, I'm a multitasker. Frank wants to leave, so get rid of him the proper way with proper acknowledgement.
All right, I'll give him a big kiss.
That's okay, Roger. Okay, I'm going to leave you at this right here. All you listeners in the radio world on St. Pete Radio, what is the only white group in the 60s, 70s that signed a record contract with Motown Records? Let's see how smart you two guys are.
Well, I'm an idiot. I don't know.
Come on. It's the only white group signed by Berry Gordy in the late 60s, early 70s. Who was it?
Ain't got a clue. I didn't do music.
Well, let me tell you, they were very rare.
Well, I believe they were very rare.
Rare Earth?
You got it.
Okay.
Rare Earth. Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right, guys, thank you for having me. You guys have a great afternoon. This is a great party. Pick up this month's issue of Boomers Magazine in North Pinellas County. Soon we'll be in South Pinellas County, Hillsborough County, every county. Later.
Very good.
Drive carefully. We'll see you soon. Put the check in the mail. All right. Wonderful man, Frank Allen. He's had a number of publications here, Detroit and elsewhere. Sports Tampa Bay was his big one back in the 90s. Have we talked to this? Oh, yes. Ted Webb, say goodbye.
Frank and I are going to go take our insulin cocktails.
That's right. You guys are the diabetic queens.
Absolutely.
And you can read about you in his magazine this month.
Thank you for an incredible article. I could never live up to what you wrote, but it was very sweet of you, man. You touched me.
Well, you deserve it. You deserve twice as much. My writing did not even come close to your abilities.
No, you stop. You're, brother, you're too kind. But
I only say nice things about... I say them behind your back as well. Teddy knows everyone, has done everything. I'm sincere. Honestly, you are one of the most extraordinary human beings in this industry, not just on Tampa Bay, but compared with everyone else in the industry across America. You're the top of the pile.
I agree with that.
You guys are just too kind, man. I want to thank him because John Cyphus and Bill Burnett were the guys that put this Tampa Bay Radio reunion together so many years ago. They were the guys that got it off the ground, and without them, this wouldn't be happening. Thank you, John.
Actually, lots of credit goes to a number of different people. Each played a little tiny part role in this, and it all came together. And if it wasn't for Teddy's enormous email list, it would not have happened, because he was, with one index finger, able to hit everybody in the industry.
Well, very good. You guys go get your insulin now.
What we're going to do is, Ted and I are going to go out and have a shot.
All right. See you guys later. Yeah, Ted and Frank have had diabetes much of their lives. When it's in this article, I first met Ted one summer night when we both started at WLCY in 1973. And my late mother used to make me a vat of iced tea, big jar, and it was 50% sugar. That's why it was so good. And I gave some to Ted, but I said, Ted, you're diabetic. This stuff might kill you. He said, don't worry. I'll just take more insulin. And let's see. 40 years later, he's still 41 years later, he's still alive, so I guess he took more insulin.
Yeah, he's a good guy, first class. He's been a wonderful help to me. And, you know, we've all wanted the places I have really wanted to cap off my career with an association. In close, I'm not as close as I want to be, but some of the most important times of my career were with Jack Harris, also Ted Webb, and that whole crew. And to be back in the same environment, even though we're in different areas of the radio station, we're close by, and hopefully the opportunities will present themselves in the not-too-distant future where I can be more directly involved with them. I would love that so very much. And one of these days, we have to find out what hurdles need to be moved out of the way so that you can get back there as well, so that the whole crew can be back together again.
Well, maybe if Salem buys Clear Channel or whatever it is.
There's an idea. We will suggest that, yeah. Right. Between us, I'm sure we know some people at the corporate level. And let's make arrangements to make that. Hey, look, two of your paychecks would cover it all by itself.
All right, I'll do it. We'll do that. Have we talked to this gentleman over here who's having a drink yet?
No, I don't think so. Do you want to go do it?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Oh.
I'll hang out here.
Oh, you hang out. You can come over here, too. Young man, you mind if I put you on the radio? Don't worry, nobody's listening.
Put me on the radio. I know what a microphone is. I've seen one before.
Well, I understand you didn't only see one. You basically invented half of the equipment we're using now.
I think that's a little exaggeration.
But you did a lot of things. Tell me about your career with the old WLCY.
Well, it started out with WTSP.
Yes.
Which the Ray Hall brothers came down, and Nelson Pointer thought he took these brothers from West Virginia by selling them to no good radio station. And somehow or other, in the mixture of that, I ended up coming back to St. Petersburg and being an engineer. And it turned out that they didn't have any programming to put on Saturday night, so they decided that if the engineer would do the late night music shift, then he could stay and do maintenance and they would pay less money.
That's how they thought back then. Let's let the engineer do the show and then he can take care of the transmitter.
Right. So the end result of this was that Dance Time Dan was born, and we played. I was the first disc jockey in the Tampa Bay area on a full-time station to play rock.
What was your on-air name?
Dance Time Dan.
Dance Time Dan.
Yeah.
On
WTSP.
The predecessor of WLCY 1380.
The last night when I went on vacation in 1959, I said, you will never hear Dance Time Dan on WTSP again, knowing that they were changing call letters while I was on vacation. They had a chief engineer that pulled the dirty trick on me, and it ended up with me, in effect, being fired. So not only was Dance Time Dan never on WTSP again, but he wasn't on WLCY either. And a year later, in 1960, one of the officials of the company, the Ray Hall Broadcasting, called me and said, we'd like to talk to you. We'd like you to be chief engineer. And I said, you know, there's a fat chance, and you know what? And I said, well, just talk to Sam Ray Hall, one of the brothers, and we ended up making a deal. I met Roy Nelson, and Roy and I did Top 40 Radio when we had 70% of the audience.
This was the days when Top 40 was new.
Brand new. Nobody in the market knew how to do Top 40. Roy had been on WALT, and which was the first station to play rock in the area, but it was a daytime station.
Now, this was back when WABC, I guess, in New York was starting it. WLS in Chicago was starting to do it and making tremendous inroads. All the traditional broadcasters said, what's this? Just the teenagers will listen. And it's not true.
And Roy and I later were interviewed by some of those people in New York, including WABC, to come take our miracle up to New York. We figured we'd rather be big fish in a little pond, and so we didn't go because some of our friends had gone, and in a year or two they chewed them up and spit them out, and they had nothing left. So we stayed and worked on the idea of the local participation. And to, you know, today, if you tell somebody you had 70% of the audience, they think you're insane, but we did. And along the lines, I discovered one day they decided that we were going to do the Festival of States parade from a helicopter. So I got in the helicopter, and we did the parade. And after the parade, I went to Sam Rahal, and I said, you know, we really ought to do traffic reports. And he said, well, you can't afford the helicopter. And I said, well, you don't want a helicopter. You want an airplane. Well, he didn't believe me. So I had to go get a pilot's license to prove to him. And that's how I became Captain Dan. So I was Captain Dan, the airborne traffic reporter and the chief engineer of the station until 1969.
So you were flying before the legendary Al Ford.
Right. And a cute little Al Ford story. When Al Ford first started doing it for WDAE, he's such a nice guy that he said to the people that wanted him to do it, I can't do this. If I do this, I'm a policeman. I'll take the thing away from Captain Dan, and that wouldn't be nice.
Unfortunately, I guess he ended up doing so.
Well, he didn't really. I always outrated him and outflew him. And I flew high altitude because I said, I don't care whether it's a Pontiac or a Chevy. I care where the traffic jam is. Al flew at 900 feet because he wanted to be able to tell you the license plate on the car that was stalled, which did you no good. And of course, and also he had some other little problems where his patrol car was spotted from the air. I always thought it was funny that an airborne traffic reporter got in trouble because somebody saw him from an airplane. But
well, he had a date with a young lady one day, and he took the patrol car.
So nice that he was concerned. And I talked to him shortly after he made that statement. I said, Al, we're competitors. We're honest people. We're not going to shoot each other down or run into each other. What's it going to hurt? And so for a number of years, we were both on the air together.
Now, I remember when I first moved down here in 72, he would only do Hillsborough County because there was nothing important going on in Pinellas.
Yeah, and that wasn't really true. Although later, I worked in Sarasota, and I did traffic reports for Braden in Sarasota. And there was nothing going on there. But, yeah, he tended to stick to Hillsborough County, and he named Spaghetti Junction, which was very fitting. But he didn't have the feel for what the person on the ground was going through.
He did, and he hit one of his lines, and I'm probably going to slaughter it, was he would look at the Bay Area before the sun came up or after it went down, and he described it as a necklace around the face of God. It was just such a nice phrase.
Well, he was a nice, regardless of anything else he was doing, he was a nice guy. And we were good competitors for quite a while.
I bet you know this, but I'll tell the audience, his plane, Al Ford's airplane, is hanging in the lobby of the police station in downtown Tampa.
Yeah. Yeah, and my airplanes, two of them are still flying.
Really?
Somewhere in the world. I don't know. I know of one of them. And it is interesting to think that 50 years later, we got the same airplanes, basically. We could do the same thing over again.
I'll tell you an interesting, well, maybe it's not interesting, but it is an experience. They had a Ford Trimotor down in Plant City. The thing is well over 80-something years old, and I took a ride in it. And everybody said, oh, we're not getting on that 83-year-old airplane. That plane was better maintained than most planes.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. And my mentor in flying, Bob Francis, got an opportunity to fly one of those trimotors. And he said it was really a neat airplane, and it was well-maintained.
Well, the wing is so wide that it wallows through the air. It doesn't bump.
Yeah. It's
and the seats were nicer than the 757 I just flew, and you actually had some leg room.
Yeah, and they were heated, too, because they were afraid the passengers would be cold sitting in the airplane, and that was true.
But we flew with the windows open. It was summertime, I believe, but it was a great flight. It was actually very pleasant.
Well, we had a lot of fun. We pioneered a lot of things in broadcast, a lot of things that are done today nobody had thought of.
Give me a couple of them for our...
In 1960, all commercials were played off of reel-to-reel tape, and they had just come out with this wonderful thing called a cart machine. And so at LCY, we had some of the first cart machines.
Those were a cartridge with a loop of tape in them, and you would put a song on it, and you could just shove this cartridge into a machine, press a button, and it would start instantly rather than threading a tape.
8-track, only the cartridge was a little different. And this was wonderful because with Top 40 radio, you know, you needed the disc jockey needed to have sound effects and everything else immediately available. So by pioneering this, well, nobody knew what to do with them. Nobody knew how to use them. So we had to get the disc jockeys together. Roy and I had to sit down and figure out how to work them and how they would make the programming, because in Top 40 radio, you can't have any silence. And so we had a great deal of fun doing that, and we were an interesting force in the community. If you got time, I'll give you one more cute little story about it, though. When Roy Nelson came to WLCY, and it was decided that WLCY was going all music, Top 40, the best advertiser they had on WLCY was First Federal Savings and Loan of St. Petersburg.
I remember that.
Well, it turned out that the minute they heard what we were doing, Raleigh Green, who was the head of it, said, cancel all advertising. First Federal is a class organization. We do not advertise on a kid's radio station. Roy said, Mr. Green, I understand how you feel, but would you do something for me? The story is Raleigh said, well, sure. He said, you've got all these old people coming down to First Federal the first of every month to get their passbook stamped that they have their Social Security,
right?
Can you ask your tellers to ask them what radio station they listen to? And to Raleigh Green's amazement, many of the little old ladies said they listened to WLCY, which caused us to get some little old ladies and say, why? And we got the tellers to ask why, and they said, it makes me feel young.
Oh, man.
And Raleigh called up and said, you know that advertising I canceled? Forget it. We're one of your top sponsors. And he was.
What's the real name of Dancing Dan and Captain Dan?
Dan Lunnan.
You've let it out finally.
Right. I finally did, yeah.
Thank you, Dan. I'm going to turn it back to John Sipes.
Hey, how are you?
Dead air.
Good.
Dead air, John. You used to do that to me all the time.
We're not supposed to do dead air. Okay, Roger P. Shulman has been talking for a very long time.
Yes, I've been talking to Dan Lunnan. He is Captain Dan and Dancing Dan of WLCY. He did the first traffic reports from the air in this area after a wonderful experience in a helicopter over the Festival of States parade many, many years ago. And
wow.
And he ended up in an airplane after that because Ray Halls were too cheap to fly a helicopter. But he was the first, before even Al Ford.
Yeah, even though he was on with us a little bit earlier with Dr. Chuck, Tony Sanfilippo.
Hey, who's he? I had never heard of him.
Yeah, and you obviously can recognize that that's his. You got to get yourself a job as a voice impersonator for it.
Hey, I mean, you know, I was the voice of Rodney in Tampa.
Yeah.
For about 3 years.
Right.
Everybody was coming to me and saying, oh, you got to do a spot for me with doing the Rodney, the Rodney. And then Rodney dies and nobody wants to do Rodney anymore.
Well, Rodney is an eternal voice.
Hey, I'll tell you, you know, it wasn't easy.
We need to do that. We've got to get you back out in the commercial, whatchamacallit, but not just here, but across America.
The spirit of Rodney.
Absolutely, because you're a really good guy. Tony and I worked together at the old 570 a zillion years ago, and just a marvel.
Sure, it wasn't a quadrillion?
A zillion 463 trillion.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think you're close.
That's my number.
It.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And but anyway, I wanted to acknowledge you. I know that you were on earlier with Dr. Chuck, but I myself wanted to acknowledge you because you're really first class people. Even though I only say that about you in front of your face.
Yes, I know that. I can imagine what you say behind my back.
That's great. So,
but that's okay. It's reciprocal.
Yes. I want you to know.
How do you like that? Where did I come up with a word like that?
That's a big word for the day. But I want you to know, I'm not going to go in the direction of the... Because you're having a tough time right now, and we don't want to linger on that. We got to find the way to get you back where you belong, and that's on top.
I would love to get back into radio. This problem that I have with my brain, you know, it's hard for me. I'll sit in a conversation with somebody, and I'll be there 20 minutes carrying on a conversation, and then all of a sudden it'll just go blank for me. And, you know, I'm kind of afraid to try and do that on the air and get by with it. It's kind of hard.
I'll tell you, off the air, not on the air. Well, let's not do this here. But there are some possible answers to that. So we will discuss that. Well, in the next week or so, or two or three, really quick, we got to go have a nice, light, inexpensive sandwich together.
Sounds
and,
good to me,
talk.
As long as you're buying.
Okay, well, each of us will stop at a 7-Eleven along the way. You can go in and say, hey, we need some cash. They'll oblige, and I'll drive the getaway car.
Oh, wait. There goes the Italian thing now. I'm the one that's got to stick the place up, huh? Hey, you know what? What's this? You know?
Tony, good to see you. God bless you, good health to you. And we'll see you here again next year.
Yes. Oh, well, hey, God willing, I will be here.
Yeah, same time, same station.
Yes, sir.
Tony Sanfilippo.
Tony Sands.
Sands.
The Sands of Clearwater Beach.
Okay. I forgot the S on the end of sand. You will forgive me, I know. I need to go talk to some more people.
Yes, why don't you?
I'll do it.
I need to go home and feed Dad.
Good. Have a good night.
You be good, John.
Take care. Siphon's Comet John is me, and can I keep it for a little longer? Can I keep it for a little bit longer? Okay, cool. I'm going to go back here and talk to one of the most important people. Who do I need to talk to?
Oh, you need to talk to that young lady talking to Miss Bosniak there. You need to talk to her. She's a former Playboy bunny.
Oh, the one with her head is to the back of us?
No, she's actually got her hand up to her chin and a glass in her hand, glasses.
Huh. Off to the right?
Yes, the one with the blonde hair.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. Who is that?
That young lady there is probably one of the most prolific members of the Playboy industry. And because I have been, I cannot remember her first name right this second.
That's okay.
But you need to talk to her.
Okay, I will go talk to her.
Please.
Okay? Cool. That's the voice of Dr. Chuck Stevens. Don't go away. I want to talk to you. Okay. Hello. Hi there. How are you? Do you mind if I be rude and just barge into the middle of this?
No, not at all.
Okay. That's, do your name again?
Amy Newman.
Amy Newman. And you are?
Krista Lynn.
And you are, Dr. Chuck said, I need to talk to you, but I don't know anything about you, so I don't know where to start the conversation.
Okay.
So you can prime the pump with why I want to talk to you.
Okay. Well, I was with WFLA when I was 13 years old. And
really?
Started doing the Rowdies Hour with Big Jim Galogli and worked for the Tampa Bay Rowdies for quite some time. And
you were 13?
13.
Really, 13?
13 years old.
Wow, you beat me by 3 years. I started at 60.
Did you?
Rodney Marsh was, Rodney Marsh. And Farouk.
And,
oh, I love them.
Mike Connell.
Nice.
Yeah, great times. Great times. Dougie Work, all the rest of the crew. We had a great time. And then from there, I left the radio. I actually had my first internship at Channel 8 with Bob South, Mike Berry, and a very young Gail Sarens.
Just I remember.
Yeah.
Very earliest days with Gail when she was an intern at Channel 8.
Yep. And she just graduated from FSU.
Yeah.
And that was my first internship, was at FLA TV. And I left there, went to CBS Sports, and worked college football in production for quite some time. And from there, I got a little job here at Vision Cable, which is now Bay News 9. And went in from Bay News 9. I got some jobs up in Toronto. I covered the Blue Jays for quite some time for a CFRB standard. And worked down here at WFNS, WFLA, again with Rock Riley, who I adore. Love Rock.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yep, great guy. And from there, I was working for CBS Sportsline, Sports Fan Radio Network, did some work for ESPN, and been a little bit of all over the place. So, yeah.
Well, he mentioned also something about Playboy.
Yeah, I had a couple stints with Playboy. They're a great organization. I'm still proud to be affiliated with them.
And, what do you do?
You know, all these years, any time the girl is either, you know, involved with them as a Playboy bunny, which I was at the St. Pete Club back in the days. I was working at a bank during the day, and I had to sneak into my bunny costume. But at those times, you know, you left the bank at 3:30 in the afternoon, so you could sneak into bunny costume and heels and get down to the Playboy.
You still have your heels in the closet?
I think they're buried someplace, yeah.
I don't know how any woman could wear those heels.
It wasn't the heels, it was the outfit itself, the corset itself. Because back then it was just satin, but it was a cover over. There was a wire band, wire undercups, and a wire band that goes through the satin. So, you know.
That hurt.
It hurt. And you could not lose a pound, you could not gain a pound. It was, you know, and it was very strict. I mean, you know, there was
I want you to know that I love women. However, I wouldn't want to be one for that
reason.
Yes, right.
But it was a lot of fun, and I only did it for a short time because I got a better opportunity up in Gainesville. But, you know, it was fun. And then later on in about the mid-80s, I did some modeling, and I was with another girl. She was asked to be in the magazine, and then they did a pictorial for me and got to be one of the girls of Florida, and I got to be in another pictorial down the road, and it was a lot of fun.
That's really a wonderful life, and still looking forward to another zillion 463 trillion years of exciting stuff in your future.
Absolutely. Every day is an adventure.
So what are you doing exactly right now?
Right now I work for a large corporation, and I do a lot of charity work. I work with breast cancer. I do a large children's Christmas party every year. I stay very active in the community, and you know, just a warrior and loving it.
You're a lawyer.
A warrior.
Warrior.
But I did just get my master's degree, and I stayed at a Holiday Inn last night. So.
Now, when you say the charity work, what does that involve?
Anything from breast cancer fundraisers.
And that's through your work with that corporation.
Yes, I do work with the corporation in that respect, and then also I do a Christmas party for 150 children every year. I don't know who they are, but we get them Santa Claus. They do karaoke, face painting. We get them gifts. They are allowed to invite their parents, their grandparents. So that's a big thing for me every year. We purchase the toys for them, do a lot of things, you know, as far as that goes. Every year I do that. And just involved in some other community activities, dinners, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, the reason I asked the question is